feel honored to be in the house, to have been a part of this moment of worship. And let us just thank God tonight just for his presence, just for God showing up here and meeting us here, for his presence in the place. We give honor to God tonight, to the praise team that opened the door. Amen. Ushered in the Holy Spirit tonight, the officers and leaders of this great church, these ministers of the gospel who are with us tonight, Reverend Vernon Jones, thank you for such a wonderful introduction. Amen. To Reverend Dr. Ann Rice Jones, Reverend Oakster, who's with us from New Hope Church, and Reverend Laron Jackson, our brother beloved from the American Baptist Churches, amen. To all the officers of the True Light Church, we thank God for you, and the New Hope Church, amen. All of our officers and members, amen, 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 all right, amen. We're so grateful to have you here tonight. Our chairman, the board of deacons, our vice chair is here, second vice, and other leaders, officers. We're grateful that God led you to this place tonight and to the New Hope Choir. Amen. Would you help me thank God for them? Amen. Bless my heart tonight. And to our sister, Councilwoman Gilmore, we thank God for you. What a wonderful honor for your pastor. Very moving honor and such a lovely tribute by this young man. I thought I would just disappear when he stood up and said it was so long ago. If I had been anywhere else, I'd have been in the floor laughing, I'm telling you. But what a wonderful testament to the ministry of this pastor, to his heart, and to how he has impacted every generation in this fellowship and the community around it. Let's thank God for our honoree tonight, Reverend Dr. William Golson. Other ministers of the gospel who are here, we don't want to exclude anyone. We thank God. Any ministers here, would you stand up? The ministers of the gospel who are here, we invite you to stand. Amen. Good to see you, Minister Thomas Martin from New Hope Church. Bless you, sir. Amen. Thank God for you. I want to just use our time as wisely as we can. God has been so gracious to us. My father once told me, he said, when you're invited somewhere, you always take a gift. He said, you be thankful you've been invited, and don't wear out your welcome. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. So I don't want to wear out my welcome. Amen. Won't you turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel in the 15th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you find that, won't you say amen? You're still looking, say, hold on. All right. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Grateful to have this wonderful aggregate of members and ministers and leaders from around the community. 1 Samuel 15. If you're there, you say, I got it. All right. Down the 34th verse. 1 Samuel 15 through the third verse of 1 Samuel 16, I want to read these words. I'm reading from a English Standard Version tonight. I had some technical difficulty with my tablet, amen, so I'm going back to the root, amen. 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 Here's what it says. It says, then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. Right. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a cow with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. and you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. Amen?
Amen.
Won't you pray with me? Eternal God, we thank you for this opportunity to declare your holy and righteous word. Won't you, God, just dip me now, this your servant, God, deep into your well tonight, that I may come forward, God, with a word not from me, but from you. For this your people, God, for this moment, for this pastor, this fellowship, and this body of believers gathered in this place tonight. Help us and use us, oh God, that we might together connect around the movement of your Holy Spirit in this place in such a way that your name will receive the glory and our lives will be made better because we're here. It's in the precious name of Christ we ask and we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach this evening from the subject, Anointing Another Leg of the Journey. Anointing Another Leg of the Journey. We engage this text tonight by locating Samuel about 5 miles from Jerusalem's border. Samuel here is mourning King Saul's disobedience to God and thinking about this change of leadership. The fact that now Saul has gone on and he will have to seek the face of God, find this season of prayer, as it were, to determine what God would desire next. Consequently, God spoke to Samuel, the faithful priest, and informed him the time had come to anoint another successor. The more I think about it, the more this faithful priest named Samuel reminds me of Dr. William Golson, who here in this critical, pivotal moment has led the fellowship in a season of prayer. What a powerful testimony about what it means to seek the face of God in a season of change. That this pastor has determined to embrace the move of God in this moment, not by making loud proclamations or shouting around town what he's done and accomplished and ready to move on to enjoy, but has paused for a season of prayer. To me, what better a place to land tonight than this story of 1 Samuel, where the priest had been faithful to the people of Israel, had been faithful to the call of God, had led with devotion and prayer and thoughtfulness and mindfulness all these many years, and now accepts the call of anointing another leg of the journey. Truth is that whether we like to admit it or not, you and I, all of us who are human beings born under the sun, don't necessarily like moving in new directions. As much as we love God and trust in the Lord, as much as the choir lifted our souls tonight as we were reminded that we can take it to the Lord in prayer, there's sometimes we go to God and ask him about moving, staying, or going in another leg of the journey where God doesn't seem to be our friend at all. The truth is, whether we like it or not, that God is in charge of the seasons. That God makes seasons come, and I'm a living witness, God makes seasons go. And whether we like them to come or go, the fact is, that's just how God works things out. And so I have to tip my hat tonight and bow in humble celebration of this, your pastor, because he is one who's been able to read the seasons. He's been able to hear God speak to his heart and work on his soul and help him to stand before the congregation and announce the changing of the seasons. And if we're honest about it, that truth is that though we know sometimes God changes the seasons, many of us don't necessarily like them to go. That some of us will hold on to things God has given us for dear life, even if some of us stay too late, work too long, and do too much. But I'm glad to report tonight at the True Light Church that this, your founder and pastor, this triumphant servant of God, has seen and heard God's call as God prepares to anoint him and this fellowship for another leg of the journey. And I don't know about you, True Light, but I found out, as hard as it is sometimes, there is blessing in being able to follow God's change of seasons. Anybody here don't mind testifying that though sometimes you really didn't like it, when God changed the season as you followed the work and way of God, you learned that God had more in store ahead of you than you saw behind. That if you had stayed where you were, you'd never seen what God had for where you were going.
And so that's the role of Samuel in the text tonight, that God calls him to fill his horn with oil and make his way to the house of Jesse. By filling our horns with oil as God required Samuel, we are coming tonight to indicate that we believe God has a future yet in store. That's the powerful, I believe, testimony that comes out of the prayer life and the discerning decision of this pastor, that he recognizes that filling his horn with oil does not mean the journey is over. It just means that God has another leg of the journey yet in store. You see, we have to learn how to thank God tonight, church, that God fills our horns with oil to anoint another leg and not worry about the leg behind. That God has given us a great leg of the journey behind. He's given you 29 years of founding ministry, of developing roots, of outreach into the community, of working with families, of raising up children, of blessing babies, of marrying couples, of sending loved ones to glory, of preaching the gospel Sunday after Sunday. This has been a great leg of the journey. And now what we need to do is thank God that he's asking us to fill the horn with oil one more time, because God's not through with you yet. Anybody glad that God's not through with you yet? That just because he calls for another leg of the journey doesn't mean that the good times are over. It means that God is anointing another leg of the journey. He tells Samuel, fill your horn with oil and make your way to Jesse the Bethlehemite's house. It lets us know, church, that God is a God that is in charge of the seasons. And indeed, God is able to anoint us for the next leg of the journey. And I would be remiss if I didn't pause here and talk a little bit about this leg. The fact of the matter is, and I heard Sister say as she sang, that a whole lot of folks pop up and say they're ready to go into ministry. They're ready to pastor a church. But I need to stop by and tell you, I don't care how big, how small, how narrow, how wide, country church, rural church, city church. The truth is, there's no plaything in pastoring the Lord's church. That you ought to be sure and very sure that in 29 years of ministry, simply by the sheer statistics alone, that the statistics suggest that every 5 years, the statistics suggest that every 5 years that one in five pastors leaves the ministry completely. So that means for every 5 years of Dr. Golson's ministry, there have been one in five who have dropped out and never returned again. He's been here 29 years, so it seems like to me not only has he outlived the statistics, but he has encouraged the hearts of a fellowship to know that though there are some who feel like the journey is too hard to make, that God is able to see you through. See, tonight, Dr. Golston's testimony can be our triumph song. That as God kept him 29 years, it's a reminder God can keep you and God can keep me. I thank God tonight that he's been here 29 years doing the work of the Lord, serving in the vineyard, blessing the people, because it reminds me that day after day, and though sometimes the road gets rough and the going gets tough, God will guide you if you hold on to his unchanging hand. Are there any witnesses here tonight who will give God thanks that Dr. Golson's service here is a reminder that if you keep on keeping on, God can and God will see you through. This ought to be a salvation song for every believer, that if what God has done for others, he can do for you. So Samuel embraces this next leg of the journey. And so must we. Dr. Golston has another leg, and True Light has another leg. And the question is, what must we do in order to receive this anointing God has? I think it's here in this text tonight that the scripture says in chapter 15, at the end of that verse that we read, 34, then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went to his house. And it lets us know there in the beginning that and then God tells Samuel from there to go to Bethlehem. So it says, church, if he'll be obedient to God's request, Samuel that is, he must leave Ramah and go to Bethlehem. But the thing is, church, background tells us that Ramah was Samuel's birthplace. It was the home of his father, Elkanah. You remember Elkanah and Hannah, don't you? Hannah was worried that she would never be able to have a child. She went to God and said, Lord, please send me a son and send me a child. And she prayed so fervently that she began to cry. And one priest showed up and thought she'd been drinking new wine. She said, no, I'm praying for a child. And there Samuel was born at Ramah. He was raised at Ramah. He had roots at Ramah. He was known at Ramah. But when the Lord said, Samuel, it's time for you to leave Ramah and go to Bethlehem so that you can anoint your next successor. It lets us know, church, that Samuel had a high regard for Ramah. You see, sometimes we don't want to leave Ramah because we're so comfortable there. It's so well acquainted to us. We know everyone and everybody knows us. But because Samuel had such a high regard for Ramah, he realized it had to be bigger than himself. And that if he were not to leave Ramah, then just maybe Ramah would not have the future God desired. And sometimes, church, you and I have to take this to heart and realize that God asks us to leave the Ramahs of our lives, not as a penalty or a punishment, but because God is trying to bless Ramah. And you and I have to hold fast to the fact that God used us in some Ramahs of our lives. And because we did the work well, God wants to ensure that Ramah keeps on rolling on. So the good news is that our work is easy when we just remove from Ramah, recognizing that God will bless it if we do what God says. And so it is that in the church of Christ that you and I have to do this work of following this powerful example. That how else would the church of Jesus Christ grow on if every now and then some of us don't move from Ramah and go to Bethlehem? That all of us in the house ought to follow Dr. Golson's example tonight. Because God, I believe, has at least one or two people all of us have influence upon. And God will use us to go and anoint somebody else that he's preparing to raise up and take the church into the next generation. But in order for God to use us, we got to have a high regard for Ramah. That means I can't necessarily be on my post for all of my journey with God. I got to be willing to share Ramah with somebody else. That means I may not be the front sanctuary usher every day because God may have somebody else he's raising up. And if I trust God and I for a really love Ramah, then I move on to Bethlehem and allow God to bring somebody else and he can use it to take Ramah where it needs to be. As a matter of fact, if you tell the truth about it, you and I weren't always at Ramah. God got us from somewhere out in the wilderness, down a back alleyway, up in the cut and brought us because somebody else had a high regard for Ramah and decided that God was raising us up and bringing us on. That if we will be a part of God's anointing the next leg of the journey, we need a high regard for Ramah. We have to love where God's brought us from so much that we trust that it's not clinging on, but letting go and letting God that will help it to be all God wants it to be. And the same is true for you, True Light, that God has sent, in a sense, you a Rhema, but the good news, the tough news is you have to let Rhema go. I knew it would get quiet right there. Tough as it is, that Dr. Golson now has another leg of his journey. That God has something else in store in his life. And as much as I know he loves the True Light Church, as much as I know it will be hard for him to move on to Bethlehem, you and I are going to have to do the work of letting him go. And I'm going to tell my own testimony. Because I was at home today, Randell getting ready to come in. I said, well, let's see, I can get Doc to come over and preach this one. And I see if we got this evening coming up here. And the Lord said to me, you can't call that man. He's moving on. And I said, yeah, but wait, Lord, I just want to, because since he'll be around a little while. And God convicted me. And instantly I felt compassion for the fellowship. That it will be hard work to let go of what God has sent. It doesn't mean that Dr. Golson won't be around. Or he won't still love you. He won't still be a phone call away. But it does mean that you and I'm going to testify for myself, that you and I have to move on and let him go to Bethlehem, so that God can continue raising up Ramah. Is that all right tonight? We have to have a high regard for Ramah. But not just that, church. The first verse, that next chapter says, The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve? And then the second verse says to God talking to Samuel, fill your horn with oil, and I'll send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided for myself a king among his sons. This is the story of the coming of age of young David. That Samuel's job is to go to Jesse's house, and you know the story. He goes through son after son, and finally say, oh, you don't want that boy. He's been out in the field. He don't know nothing, and he's too young. He's ruddy, redheaded, and I'm not sure if he'll be what you think he is. And Samuel essentially says, no, that's the one God has sent me to anoint. It tells us, church, that even though it seems sometimes that our work is unseen and goes unnoticed, that God intends for us to handle our business in Bethlehem. That in the same time that God has a Samuel in Ramah, God is working on a successor in Bethlehem. But not just a pastoral successor. God is also working on new spiritual giants right here where you are. And so in this interim moment, we ought not just get idle and lay back and wait to see what happens next. But as the sign behind me says, this is a season of prayer. This is a time to handle Lord's business at Bethlehem, because the Lord is going to anoint all of you for the new leg of the journey. And if the anointing will take hold and have good effect, you and I have to continue to be about the Lord's business. See, the challenging trial in the Baptist tradition is that as pastor to pastor transitions, sometimes in that interim space, we get a little lethargic. We start visiting other churches. It's all right. Don't say amen. Just wink your left eye. And I know you understand what I'm talking about. We make different decisions, and we say, well, I'll wait and see how it turns out. But that's not what the word says. The word reminds us that Jesse was ready to go to Ramah because he was handling God's business back at Bethlehem. So that means that true life, you have to keep on doing the Lord's work over here. So when God raises up the next David, that you will be ready to receive him or her. That you have to keep on doing the Lord's work. And not just inside the church, but in our own lives as we await God's anointing for another leg of our life journey. You and I can't get frustrated because God doesn't move when we want God to move. God doesn't move like we like God to move. God doesn't move how we prefer God to move. What you do is let God do God's business. And you handle your business. And I found out if you handle your business at Bethlehem, God will take care of Ramah. Have I got a witness at the house tonight who knows that if you handle your business at Bethlehem, God will get you to Ramah in due time? Yes, he will. That we have is, we live in a society where everything happens at the touch of a button. We got on-demand movies, and we can record last night's show and go back and watch it 10 weeks from now. We can pause something in the middle, go to the bathroom, get a snack, pour out a glass of water, come back and watch it one more time. We become so accustomed to things happening in our time and in our pace that sometimes God doesn't move fast enough for us. But I found out in my short years of living that I'm glad I'm all right with the way God moves. Because every time I put my hand on something, I mess it up good and well. But as I learned how to trust in Jesus, the song said, as I learned how to depend on God, I found that God will work things out in God's own time frame. Anybody here glad for God's time frame? Anybody know God will work it out well when you let God do what God does? So just keep on handling your business here at Bethlehem. Keep on training up young people. Keep on working in the neighborhood. Keep on singing the Lord's songs. Keep on showing up on Sunday. Continue to bring your tithe and your offering. Keep praying for the process. Keep blessing those who show up on Sunday to visit. And I found out if you handle your business at Bethlehem, God will take care of Ramah. See, sometimes we get ahead of God. We decide, I'm going to the finish line, and I'm going to fix it the way I think it ought to be. But I learned you can't get to the finish line without running the in-between legs of the race. You just keep on running the race, true light, and God will take care of what's supposed to happen at the finish line. Just keep on pressing on. Handle your business at Bethlehem, and God will anoint you the next leg of the journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we have to have a high regard for Ramah. We got to handle our business at Bethlehem. And then I'm through when I tell you this third verse. It says there in chapter 16, it says that, "And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." And Samuel did what the Lord commanded. It says to me, church, that we have to avail ourselves for the anointing. It's not enough just to fill our horns with oil and to show up. It's not just enough to hear God and say, "Okay, Lord, that makes sense." But we have to actually avail ourselves for the anointing. That you and I who love God and who know the Lord and who understand his will, we got to be in the place when the deal goes down. You know, we have a habit of saying, "Well, the deacons, they'll work it out. The ushers will be there. Sure, the choir will show up. They don't need me." But, yes, the Lord needs you too. That if God is going to do this great and mighty work, if God's going to carry on what he's begun in this leader, if God's going to raise up the next generation, if God's going to use you to fulfill the next leg of his plan, it means you got to avail yourself for the anointing. You got to be there when the oil is being poured out. This isn't a secondhand experience. You got to be in the house when God does what God is going to do. So Samuel takes his horn, fills it with oil, and makes his way to Bethlehem. He doesn't phone it in. He doesn't send an email, a tweet, or a Facebook post. He goes down to Bethlehem because he knows that's the only way he can be present when God shows up. And I would encourage your heart tonight, True Light, to be reminded you got to be available for the anointing. That means not only have you got to be here in body, but you got to be here in spirit. That means you got to have your face in a place, your soul in a seat, and your heart ready to receive the Lord. It reminds me of an old song my father used to play on the radio. It said, "Your mind is here with me, but your body is on the other side of town." You got to be in the house when God shows up. You got to decide that you're in the right place at the right time. That no, I got it backwards, but your body can't be here by itself. Your mind's got to be here with it. You got to entrust and be sure that as this work unfolds, as God's hand becomes clear, that you are here to receive it for yourself. That you got to join the prayer circle. You got to be in this move of God. You got to be a part of what God is up to because you have a role to play in participating in the anointing. You see, God could have raised up David all by himself, but he chose Samuel to pour out the oil. And if God is going to do the great work he promised you, you and I have to be here holding the horn while God pours out the oil. You have to decide, church, that it may be tough sometimes, and you're going to miss Pastor Golson some days, and there are going to be some snow days and some good sunny days. You know how that works in Denver, don't you? Oh, y'all do know. I got it. Yeah, snow days. Oh, it's snowing out there. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's 72 degrees in February. We'll catch them next Sunday. What you have to do is decide that if God fills the horn with oil, no matter what the weather is, no matter how far into the playoffs the Broncos have gone, no matter how good the skiing is this weekend, that you're going to fill your horn with oil, make your way to True Light Church as God pours it out to anoint the next generation. Anybody here glad to know that sometimes we may not always be where we ought to be, but God has a way of finding us and using us to do the work he's calling us to do? And so it is, Samuel made his way to Bethlehem. He put himself in the right place at the right time. He showed up to do God's work the way God asked God to be done. And therefore, he was ready to anoint young David to be the successor for the leader and the nation of Israel. And what shouted me, Dr. Golson, as I reread through the text, was this simple note that Jesse was there and Samuel was asked to fill his horn with oil. Yes, we can assume and imagine that it was then Samuel's job to pour out the horn of oil onto the new leader's forehead and anoint him for the work God had called him to do. And then I thought to myself, well, Lord, tell me what happens after Samuel pours out the oil. That then there is an empty horn. One would think, Dr. Jackson, that maybe this empty horn is useless. There's,
There's nothing left to do. I've poured out my oil. I've done my work. I've served 29 years. I guess now I just go and sit down like a bump on a log. But then the Holy Spirit reminded me that this horn is not just any horn, but the Old Testament Hebrew tells us this was a shofar. It was a ram's horn. And the ram's horn was used at times of battle and in times of praise. In times of battle, the ram's horn was used to rally the troops from every end of the globe. After hearing the playing of the horn, the soldiers showed up at the right place at the right time. And in times of worship, the ram's horn was used to gather the worshipers to sing praises unto their God. And so I came by to tell you, Dr. Golson, that God has called you and True Light to pour out this horn of oil on the next leg of the journey. But once you poured out the oil, you ought to step back and blow that horn and let God use you for the next leg of what he has in store. It means you ain't through praising God yet. You ain't through preaching yet. You're not through serving yet, because you still have the horn. And you may pour out the oil, but I'm a witness, God can fill it up again. Is there anybody in the house who's able to testify that God has taken your horn and allowed it to overflow with his anointing oil? And you thought the job was through. You thought your work was done. You thought your usefulness had come to a close. And God said, I'm just anointing you for the next leg of the journey. But Dr. Golson, the good news is that Samuel wasn't the last somebody to bring someone into the next leg of the journey. Because my Bible tells me that God the Father created heaven and earth, the firmament, the waters, and everything in between. But don't you know, he anointed somebody else for the next leg of the journey. Israel decided they didn't want to follow God. So God raised up his only begotten son, put him down in a Bethlehem crib, and sent him on to Galilee. God was raising up another leg of the journey, metaphorically pouring out oil on that baby Jesus. And the Bible says he walked the earth 30 and 3 years. He come down from 40 and 2 generations. He healed the sick, and he gave sight to the blind, and he raised the dead. But don't you know, as he got to the close of his leg of the journey, Jesus made way for one more. He said, I will have to leave you now, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send you a comforter in the name of the precious Holy Ghost, and he will never leave you. And so, Dr. Golson, keep on pouring out oil, and God will keep on using you. Is there anybody at True Light who knows God will keep on using you for another leg of the journey? All you gotta do is keep on, and God will make it all right. And every time you feel like, I can't go another further, I'm wired, tired, weary, and worn, just get your horn and God will show up. Anybody know God will show up? Anybody know God can do it? And I know God will fix it. You ought to tell God thank you. You ought to give God praise that God has another leg of the journey. And all we got to do is show up and pour out the oil. God will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Anoint us for another leg of the journey. God bless you, church. Amen.